Welcome to Talent Hub Talk. I'm Ben Duncombe, and on this podcast, I will be interviewing prominent and inspirational figures from both the local ANZ and global Salesforce Ohana. In today's episode, we're joined by Robert Whittaker. Robert has recently been involved in one of the biggest Salesforce programs of work in Asia Pacific. He was involved from the very beginning where they were assessing different products and ultimately choosing the Salesforce platform and getting the project off the ground and seeing it all the way through to delivery. It was a huge, huge piece of work. And we discuss a number of different factors throughout the project. And we go through why Salesforce was chosen. And we talk about the value that they got from their Salesforce consulting partner. Aside just from the delivery aspect, but what they were able to gain from working with a big SI. We talk about the challenges they faced along the way and how they were tackled, the key roles on such a big transformation, and what Robert has got over the years from collaborating with other businesses that have gone through large transformation projects. We talk about the appreciation he now has for the Salesforce platform and how much he's learned over the last kind of 2 to 3 years on this program of work. This is a really interesting episode for anyone that's about to start a major Salesforce transformation or even a smaller Salesforce project. I think a lot can be learned from what Robert has been through over the last few years. And I really hope you'll enjoy this episode. And please register for future episodes.
We're here with Robert Whittaker today. Thanks for joining us, Rob.
Thank you, Ben.
You've been involved in a huge Salesforce transformation. I'm really keen to kind of talk all through that. And what you've learned along the way, and really excited to hear more about it. But I guess for the benefit of listeners, tell us a bit about your career before Salesforce and kind of where you started out.
Yeah, so as you sort of mentioned, last 3 years I've really been sort of running for both from a strategy and execution, the second largest sort of Salesforce implementation in our region. But before that, I've done a range of sort of, I call them transformation initiatives across, whether it be putting a custom master data management systems in, you know, core registry system consolidations within financial services, data analytics environments, digital environments, led strategy and architecture teams. So a broad range of large transformation initiatives, all in that sort of digital transformation type lens.
Sure, okay, cool.
Across that time.
So before moving into the most recent piece, which was the Salesforce transformation, yeah. What was your last role?
So looking after the strategy and architecture team within my current organization basically meant leading a team of about 30 solution architects across, across all initiatives within the organization.
Okay, cool.
Financial services, as well as really driving the technology strategy for the organization.
Sure. So then how did you fall into that Salesforce piece when your current organization looked to implement a platform?
Well, it was just really an ask of the CIO at the time to sort of understand, explore what else could we be doing? How could we be doing things differently at the organization? What opportunities are there in technology? And it just happened at the time, we were sort of looking at what do we do with Siebel as a system. Mm-hmm. It was coming up for another big upgrade. And then it sort of came all Salesforce's potential opportunity here. And it just happened Dreamforce was that month.
Oh, really?
I sent off to Dreamforce. Didn't know what it was.
Sure.
When we went off to Dreamforce. And really once understood the ecosystem, I really realized it was a lot more than just a CRM and then the potential for that. And
yeah.
Came back from that and really then led the creation of the business case and then
sure.
How we drove forward from there. It was actually quite a very quick journey.
So having worked with Siebel for a number of years, yeah. Then going to Dreamforce and seeing Salesforce, I guess that was a real eye-opener.
Oh, Dreamforce is, yeah, it's an eye-opener. Everyone kept saying, oh, this is massive and you'd be blown away and you sort of get a bit skeptical. And then when you get there, it's like, oh, no, this is massive.
Yeah, they weren't lying.
Yeah, they were absolutely weren't lying. They undersold it, if anything.
Sure.
But also just the broader ecosystem, it's you're sort of going there thinking it's a CRM and then you're going, well, hang on, but it can do workflow, it can do marketing, it can do this,
sure.
It can do this. And then you realize, gee, there's a lot more possibilities here than
yeah.
just what the traditional people think Siebel could do.
Sure. So what when you looked at the platforms, you were moving away from Siebel or you were going to have to upgrade,
yeah.
What else did you look at and why was, obviously it's a broad platform, but why was Salesforce the obvious one?
So it really came on the table. It was references to the world's number one CRM. So it was a bit of a let's investigate
yeah.
that. The real value proposition was that it was more than a CRM. So yes, we looked at Siebel, but then when we started looking, well, that's a business case, yeah, probably stacks up, but how can you make that business case stronger? And it's like, well, hang on, they can do these other capabilities. So what other capabilities in the organization do we have? What else can we consolidate on? How can we effectively create a single customer engagement platform?
Sure.
For the organization.
And externally, outside of Siebel and Salesforce, anything else that you kind of chucked into the mix?
Well, there was well over 40 systems that were sort of considered in that,
really?
In that mix, from payment systems to workflow systems, you know, third party sort of portals and what they did.
Yeah.
Some of the sort of internal process, you know, managing internal processes, some of those systems as well sort of came into that mix of things to look forward and simplify. Pretty much when you think through an organization architecture, if you think anything that's customer facing, whether it's B2B or B2C, effectively came into scope in some way or another of a potential to be leveraged by Salesforce.
Sure. So for someone that hadn't worked with Salesforce before and then coming into an environment where you were delivering you were key behind the delivery of the second biggest Salesforce transformation in APAC, how did you kind of approach it? What did you learn and what were the challenges?
Well, it's quite interesting. The account executive asked me on the very first time I met him, what do I know about Salesforce? And I said between 1 to 10, and I said 1. And to be honest, I'd actually only Googled Salesforce on the way down. I didn't have any idea across the knowledge there. And it was a really big learning experience.
Sure.
If you go back 3 years where the ecosystem was and where it is, like compared to now, like there's a lot of things we had to learn into. You know, how do you set up a program of this scale? How do you mobilize the various teams? You know, what are all the features and capabilities? What's moving? Like, we're still back in the days of talking about classic then and Lightning's coming. So what do you do on Lightning? Do you wait?
Sure.
All of those sort of things you had to sort of learn.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't even have a Sydney presence in AWS at the time. Everything was still North American
hosted. Yeah, sure.
So I had to lean in and learn, you know, basically push that agenda as well.
Yeah.
For the community.
Sure. So what have been over the last 3 years, starting the program and getting it delivered, what's been the biggest challenge or biggest challenges?
Well, you could write a book on this. This could be a whole series on its own. There's a range of things learned a lot along the way. I sort of go, you've got to have a really strong vision. It's got to be compelling. It's got to be the masses have got to buy into it, mm-hmm. and it's got to be exciting to get people excited about what the possibility is and opening up people's minds to that possibility.
Sure.
You've got to have strong executive sponsorship, and often executive sponsorship seen as, well, they're there to sort of come to a steering committee. I'm saying that's got it. So they're going to be day to day. It just can't be dropping into a meeting once a month.
Yeah.
They've got to be hands on, there to solve the challenges along the way. The first 90 days of your implementation is actually the most critical, because it's where you're setting everything up, whether it be your team structures, finding the right talent, what's your design you're going to have, what are the components you're going to use, how you're going to use, and you're going to make a lot of all your key decisions in that first 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
And spending, even if you spend more, a little bit more time in that that period, will get you set up for success so much more when you go forward.
Yeah, it's the foundations, right? You can't go back and reset
them. You can't go back and, whatever you don't do in that 90 days, after that period, you'll be regretting, I should have done that back then.
I should have done that
back then. One of the biggest lessons is the prototyping and proof of concepts. I always go, Salesforce is really quick and easy just to mock something up, and building a demo or a prototype to show a stakeholder is way more powerful than a set of PowerPoint packs or requirement documents.
Yeah.
Not only do you get the stakeholder more engaged and you're bringing the whole solution to life, but you're actually finding out, does this actually work? They'll tell you, well, I don't like that and that. And it's stuff that you can't really see when you're reviewing a PowerPoint pack.
Yeah,
but when someone sees it on the screen, it's like, okay, there. And, at the end of the day, you've probably wasted, a couple of days on building that demo, but you've actually saved yourself weeks of going back to some boards with business. So that's very, very powerful skill along the way. Change management, rollout, and the sort of the culture, it's often forgotten. Everyone told me when I started the journey, change management, you're going to have to spend a lot of money and you're going to have to spend a lot of time on that. I can confirm you've got to spend a lot of time on that. It's often quite forgotten
sure.
In there. And it's more than just how do you get users to use and adopt the system. Often it's pushing cultural boundaries within the organization, because the whole moving from clicks not code, it's often more agile ways of working. You've got to think, how do you actually help the organization change the culture within there and the processes? So it's twofold in that capability.
Sure.
So there's like there's a sort of a range of aspects there.
But, yeah, yeah.
There's a whole lot you can.
Yeah,
you
I bet we could be here all day to
learn
about it for
on
sure.
all of these type of capabilities.
I bet. Yeah, and you used a big global Salesforce partner, yeah. And I guess this kind of aligns to the last question, because when you started the program, you didn't know what you didn't know.
Yeah.
So the value of having a partner that has done big piece of work before must be great. But what, aside from just the delivery aspect, do you get from working with a big partner?
So obviously it helped educate us as a team and brought that knowledge into the organization. So you got that real kickstart. The other big part we needed from the partner was the scale. You know, if I came to you and said, can we have 80 developers tomorrow?
I'd have loved it. But yeah.
You'd probably freak out. Yeah. I'm trying to find that in this market.
Yeah, for sure.
But they can just sort of bring that scale.
Yeah.
And also it's not a long game. You don't need that scale for enduring. You
sure.
need it for short spikes.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what the partner really brings. They bring that expertise, particularly when you start looking at roles like, say, CTA. To be honest, it's pretty much hard to recruit a CTA
sure.
as a permanent into your organization.
Oh, for sure.
But a partner brings those type of roles, which are really, really hard to recruit for. You need them for particular moments in your journey.
Yeah.
And you sort of can get them and then continue
sure.
forward.
So that, talking about specific roles, that leads me on to the next question. What would you say, and I guess it depends on what you're implementing, but like the key pillars of a transformation of this size, what would you pinpoint to have been the key Salesforce roles that you had involved?
So I sort of go, you need a strong architect just to get that foundational design right, and really just to bring the decisions to play. They've got to have really strong knowledge of both the platform, be up to date with what the latest is in the environment.
Sure.
From that perspective, the product owner in the business is so fundamental, because it's, you know, they're the ones that do the scope, the prioritization. They're the ones giving the developer and the admin the guidance.
Yep.
And developer and admin are only as good as the inputs they've received.
Sure.
And it's really hard to find that type of person. It needs to have someone that's both empowered as a business and has that cut through and prepared to make decision making. And it doesn't have to be a senior person, it can be junior, but just as long as it's got those two core attributes across the board. And you've then just got to have an engaged and excited team.
Yeah.
Like people have got to want to be there, and they've got to believe in what you're trying to do to achieve those outcomes. And they've got to be passionate about continuing to learn.
Sure.
This platform is moving very rapidly, forever changing. You always get frustrations with, you know, you find people, it's like, oh, yeah, I know X. It's like, well, but X was like six releases ago.
Yeah, yeah.
What about...
Yeah, keeping up the speed.
You've got to keep up the speed, whether that be through Trailhead or paying attention to conferences. It's one of my, you know, I always ask in interviews, you know, what's in the latest, what did you find exciting in the latest release?
Because
that sort of gives to me a knowledge of, have you even read the release notes?
Yeah.
There, do you, yeah, surely you must have picked something up if you paid attention to those things.
Sure. Know,
what conferences are that have you been to along the way?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think that's a good question around the releases, because it will either catch people out or it will show
they're up to date and those dimensions. Yeah.
Sure. So collaboration across the Salesforce ecosystem is pretty massive. I know that you've been and spoken to a lot of different companies before your journey start or along the journey and after. What kind of value have you got from collaborating with businesses outside of your existing to see how they've done things and what you can learn from them?
That's one of the most exciting parts I find about the ecosystem. And one of the things that stood out to me first, that very first Dreamforce I went to, I went in with we'll just do a bunch of sessions and learn stuff. After about a couple of hours, like, well, no, the networking's more important.
Yeah.
Watch the sessions on YouTube. And really just learn, like meeting people, meeting companies. And I've done that through those conferences. I've sit on a number of advisory boards for Salesforce and other type of events. The part that I always get out of every one of them, it's an opportunity to get ideas. Like the number of times I've walked away from a conversation of hearing what someone else has done and going, oh, we could do something similar to that, or we've got a similar problem, we could do something similar. And
sure.
I just find it's just a source of innovation ideas.
Yeah, yeah.
And especially when you start talking even outside our region to some of the other markets, particularly North America. They're typically a little bit ahead of us.
Yeah.
And it's a great source of ideas, and you come back and do that. The other thing is it just gives you comfort, and everyone's in the same
same
position,
same challenges.
And sometimes you walk away and it's like, damn it, we're either ahead of them or they're the same problem. They don't have the answers.
Along the way. But that's what I find. I mean, often a lot of the answers are out there, and it's just by reaching out and having those conversations, and it saves you so much time and pain over the.
Yeah, and everyone's quite so willing to with their time to, you know. Once you sort of build up your network in the ecosystem, you can always just pop a question to someone, and everyone's really sharing of how they're sort of going or doing or how they solve this problem.
Sure.
And I think it's important that, you know, when people sort of join the ecosystem, they're always got that giving. It's that giving back to the knowledge. You absorb a lot when you join. Everyone's helping you pick everything up, and I see one of my responsibilities to give back some of this knowledge that I've built up.
Hence why you're here.
People that have shared it with me.
Yeah, for sure. So day one of the journey, you said you'd rate your knowledge of the platform as 1 out of 10. It's been a long 3 years, I guess. You've really embedded yourself in the ecosystem. Where would you put yourself now?
I'd be definitely up at that 8 or 9. You know, I've implemented all the clouds there are, minus Tableau, Salesforce new acquisition.
Sure.
From that front, and know the depth of the platform. I always go to the team, like, get to Apex code. I don't worry about that, but I know most
everything
most things above that.
Sure.
From that, and just the delivery side, the ways of working at scale, large transformation, know all those
things. Going deep into the platform, how important is that for someone? If someone is watching this and they're about to start a big transformation, they're sitting in the role that you've played, how important is it to go deep?
It's definitely beneficial. I go, there's no matter what level you are, there's always opportunities to learn and understand the platform. And more you spend time understanding the platform, more you're going to get out of it, more value you're going to drive to it. I've been a big push on Trailhead, both within the organization. I personally have done over 200 badges. And I go, there's no level in the organization that...
Where do you find time? Where do you find time to do 200 badges?
But it's a source of ideas.
Yeah, it's true.
When something new comes up, do the Trailhead.
Yeah.
But I just go, you know, whatever level, you know, that's just a source of learning and development. I encourage people to do that. And more you put into it, more you get out of it, and more value you'll be able to put back into the ecosystem, more valuable you will be to your employers.
Yeah, and I guess if you're leading the implementation, the transformation, and you're investing that time in doing Trailhead and being up to date and up to speed, then there's no excuse for anyone else
underneath.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I even got the head of our contact center. He does has about 800 people under him. He did 25 badges.
No way.
Just to encourage people to learn. Frontline staff, I got to do badges. They now come up with ideas of how they use the platform. So it's quite a powerful tool to get people both engaged and really come out with ideas and innovating on the platform.
Yeah, and there's nothing like it anywhere else. It's free.
No, it's free. It's like there's no excuse whatsoever to do it. It's got a little bit of fun along the way.
Yeah, definitely. So what are you excited about now? What does the future look like for you?
Oh, really now, just at the stage now, exploring what the next transformation will be.
Sure.
Within the ecosystem, take a bit of time to relax and look for that next opportunity, whether it be a partner, whether it be helping another business drive a transformation.
Sure. You've got all of the war wounds, so
know what to expect and know how to deliver it. And we'll see where it turns out. In a few months.
Perfect. So, and if anyone wants to connect with you or hear more about the story, where's the best place to connect?
Just connect via LinkedIn. I'm always happy to share my experiences, my knowledge. Always happy to help people out, whether it be businesses, partners. Always happy to share my knowledge, and you can see that through the various presentations and conferences.
Sure.
I continue to support.
Cool. Well, look, thank you very much. I've really enjoyed it, and I'm sure people will get a lot of value from that. So thank you.
Not a problem.
And all the best
for
the future.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talent Hub Talk. If you're enjoying the podcast, we'd love it if you could subscribe and also leave a short review, We're keen for this podcast to reach as many people in the Salesforce ecosystem as possible, and your reviews will help us do that.